We are back on the Taliban to Go Home. Thanks for being with us. Like I said at the top of the show, amazing, amazing concert in Winnipeg last night with our pal Scott Cook. He's got a great new record called Further Down the Line. I'm very excited to chat with him in a minute. But first, how about one off that record? This one is called Your Sweet Time. You're listening to Taliban to Go Home.
I keep musing on you, baby. Just a whiff of you inspires. I'm wishing I was with you. Singing round the fire, drinking cheap wine. Hey, hey, hey. And I'm jonesing for a little bit more of your sweet time. Your love's a foreign country, baby, take the lead. I'm carrying no currency, I can't even read the street signs. Hey, hey. But I'm searching the lanes for a hidden doorway in your sweet time. Don't your hands feel good in between mine? Hey, and won't you keep a little room for me in your sweet time? You can bring me home to dinner. I'd even meet your folks. I promise to scrub up and laugh at their jokes. You could even meet mine. Scrubbing up to in your sweet like a ghost. This little flame I'm holding, if you guard it close, it ought to keep fine. Hey, hey, could you leave it burning in the window of your sweet time? Some things you can't rehearse, some things you'll never know. I'll listen for another verse and pray whatever road my feet find. Hey, hey, leads me far and wide and back inside of your sweet time. Leads me far and wide and back inside of your sweet time.
Ah, terrific, terrific song from a terrific, terrific album. And he's a pretty swell guy. It's Scott Cook here, folks. Thanks for coming down here, Scott Cook. It's a real pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Yeah.
Great to finally do this.
I know. You played last night at the Times Changed. It was very different. Like, I've only seen you solo before. You've only played here solo before. Mm. And having a couple of players really, really made for something special.
Yeah, I sure like having them along. It's only lately, you know, that I'm in a position where I'm able to bring them more and more.
Yeah.
You
know. It freed you up to show off your dance moves. I didn't know you were such a dancer. You got some moves, man. How long did it take you to choreograph that song? Come on, you got it all.
We got a big band, The Long Weekend.
Yeah.
And with that, there's another singer, Jackie B.
Yeah.
She and I are kind of the front people in that band. So yeah, we were working that out together last year, you know. And then the trio were like, "Why don't you do that in the show?" And I thought, "No, that's ridiculous. There's no drums.
That's why you got to do it, because it's
no
ridiculous.
Piano. It's just too weird." And
it was awesome. No,
it terrifies people in house concerts. They don't know where it's going.
that's funny. So are you playing a wide range of venues then? Are you mixing, you know, the house concerts with the times changed regularly? Is that...
Yeah, still doing a lot of house concerts. that's been a big part of my bread and butter, you know?
I mean,
if the house concerts hadn't come along, I think I would have quit, actually.
I think a lot of people would say that for sure, yeah.
And a lot of times you make more money at that than you would in a club anyway. But not playing too many bars now. Times Change is a special place. But that's one of the few bars that I ever want to play anymore.
You know? Yeah.
I had my fill of that.
A lot of people are kind of foregoing the CD route these days, it seems. We've been heard for years that the CD is on its way out, but you seem to be going in the opposite direction. Your CDs get bigger and better every time. What's up with that?
Well, yeah, the book. I mean, I love liner notes. I'm nostalgic for that.
Me too.
You know, it's nice to have something to look at. I think music fans, serious music fans like yourself are into that sort of thing, you know? And you got to give people some reason to want to own the physical thing at all anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I've been going bigger with the books. I haven't found, you know, most of my audience is about my parents' age.
Oh, yeah.
So I haven't really found the CDs thing tailing off, you know?
Yeah.
They kind of all got tricked into giving away their vinyl collection and, you know, digitizing everything and, you know, or whatever, getting it all on CD. And I don't think they're moving on from there. They're going to stay there.
Yeah.
You know, younger folks don't, you know, a lot of younger folks don't collect CDs anymore.
Oh, it's so weird. I teach high school and talking to them about buying a CD, and they look at me like I'm from another planet. Like they don't understand the concept of paying for music even.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I still do meet folks at shows who say, you know what? I don't have a CD player, you know, but they want the book anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say.
Can you give me a download code or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite a book. These are all your photos and stuff in here that you've.
Yeah. They're all just, they're all just shots I took with my phone.
Really?
Over the years, you know? Yeah,
there's some great information. It's a lovely thing, and people are responding well. It sounds like
it's been well received so far.
Yeah,
it's 10 years now that I've been touring full time.
Yeah,
and I just felt like it was a appropriate time to kind of have a look back on all that and tell a bit of that story of you know, what I was thinking when I set out in the first place. And,
yeah,
you know what. What keeps us believing in a dream, you know, through kind of all the curveballs and weird situations that life throws at you.
This is your sixth album, I guess, and to my knowledge, you know, even with a big package like this and a lot of great players on it, I don't think, like, you've never done the crowdfunding thing or anything. You've pre-sold them, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, I did some crowdfunding for One More Time Around.
Oh, yeah.
That time around, I really needed the money.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not really comfortable with, like, the kind of fandom sort of things, you know, like, you know, pay $50 and I'll call you from the road or I'll mail you a postcard or send you a lock of my hair or whatever, you know, it's a little weird. So I was just doing pre-sales and I would pre-sell house concerts.
Yeah.
At that time, you know, and some people, I mean, some people kicked in and still haven't taken me up on the house concerts.
Really?
One fella, he says, "Oh, I'm waiting for you to win your Grammy then, because when I can't afford you, you know."
That's funny. Yeah. But so you're like, how do you put together these things and, you know, turn around by yourself? Are you just always scrimping and saving and thinking about the next one, or?
I wouldn't say scrimping, but touring around by myself definitely has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, like I was saying, it's only lately that I feel like I'm in a position to be able to bring the band along more and, you know, get hotels for them and all that sort of stuff. But for the longest time, it was just me living in the back of the van, you know. I got a mattress in the back of my van, and that, you know, kept the overhead down.
Yeah.
And just touring pretty constantly. Lately, it's started to make money, you know, in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
It's paid off my debt, and it seems to be turning around. So.
Yeah. So you've noticed more and more places you go, there's people waiting for you and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I still wouldn't say it's, you know, it hasn't gone to my head yet.
No, still, I can certainly
still
tell
always
that.
Worried. Last night I was sitting there thinking, "Oh man, I hope people come." You know?
Yeah,
yeah. So, but it's gotten a lot better. Australia in particular has been, I've been really warmly welcomed there, and this was just our fourth tour. We were 5 weeks down there with the trio.
Yeah,
and that was the first time that I could afford to bring them along. You know?
Yeah,
but yeah, Australia's been real kind to me and definitely helped out with paying off the debt and all that sort of stuff.
Tell us who those players are in the trio and how you hooked up with those folks.
Okay, yeah. Bramwell Park plays banjo, mandolin, and guitar, and a little bit of harmonica and just about everything else. And I've been playing with him for going on 5 years now,
oh, yeah.
I guess. I just knew him through the Edmonton music scene.
Yeah.
He introduced me to Melissa Walker, who's our regular bass player. And then when she can't make it, we got Sherry Ray,
oh, yeah.
who was with us last night. And I've known her for ages. She used to play bass for Miss Quincy.
Yep.
And, so I guess that's how we met. In different countries, play with some different musicians,
yeah.
you know, but, that's kind of the core.
Now, obviously, you're the guy writing all the songs. You got this. Are they helping you to kind of shape those songs and change
yeah.
those songs as well, or is it mostly just supporting you?
Yeah, they help with the arrangements.
Yeah,
they're, you know, all three of them are serious musicians.
Yeah.
You know, schooled musicians, and I think a lot of times I don't really have that kind of mind for arrangements, and I don't think much about that, you know.
I
kind of, my head's all up inside the words, you know.
Yeah.
So it's cool to you know, see the directions they take the songs in, because a song is a lot more than words, but I tend to forget that, you know.
But that's, obviously, that's your passion is the words, right?
Yeah.
That's what drives you. That's a great song for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And what about those words has to be there in order for you to be excited about your own song?
Oh, well, I guess it's the same as being excited about other people's songs. If there's nothing that grabs me in the words,
yeah.
you know, it kind of just washes over me, you know.
Yeah.
Hard to put my finger on what it is that grabs me, but I mean, definitely if I'm listening to a song and I think, oh my God, somebody thought to write a song about that. You know, that's usually
yeah.
a good, like this methamphetamine song that you just played.
Yeah.
You know, something that kind of, you know, perks your ears up
yeah.
and makes you take notice.
Yeah. Would you mind playing one of those songs for us?
Sure. Well, I may as well play the title track here.
Do it.
A new one, yeah. Aren't some people just famous for being famous? Isn't that about all that they do? And couldn't the radio leave you feeling aimless? Just an aimless person like you. But I sure heard the words Woody Guthrie sang, even when they didn't quite rhyme. He knew the heart was the stuff, they'd be close enough further down the line. I've painted houses, mop floors, and washed dishes. Taught kids, cut grass, and moved gear. Swung hammer, cleaned toilets, and dug ditches. And I even sang songs to sell beer. But it was all for someone else's dream. Till I set out after mine, said, take this hammer, take it to the captain, tell him I'm further down the line. I crossed the Fraser, the Columbia, the Mississippi, the Allegheny and the Ohio, St. Lawrence, Susquehanna, Chattahoochee, the Hudson and the Colorado. I saw the big rigs sleeping in the starry desert. Saw the snow pile round the Yukon pines. But I couldn't hang around too long in New York town without looking further down the line. Some of the joints in New Orleans ain't pretty, but the waitresses will call you hun, and a cop will stay on the white side of the city, 'cause they paid for his hat and his gun. And there's a Gulf War vet by the overpass who says, bro, can you spare a dime? Who's he kidding? These days a dollar won't be getting you any further down the line, boys. I saw the stars and bars flying in Dixie, and doomsday prophets on Capitol Hill. I saw a fast food mall named after Walt Whitman, and Gettysburg ghosts wandering still. If our families are so broken, how do we make a family out of humankind? We still got promises to break and miles to go before we wake further down the line. I saw the homeless and the houses sitting empty. I heard the explanations of learned men. Nowadays they'll rob you with the computer, 'cause it's faster than a fountain pen. And if smarter people haven't found a gap in the armor, why do I keep trying? I still believe there's a world dying to be born further down the line, friends, further down the line. Ah, Woody, I've been through all kinds of weather. Been searching all the faces for a sign. As you know, love's hard to keep together. As the miles and the years unwind, and you never run out of blacktop. No, you just run out of time. That ribbon of songs keeps on winding along ever further down the line. That ribbon of songs keeps on winding along ever further down the line.
Very, very nice. That's Scott Cook. That's the title track to his new record. So great. There's a lot of kind of subtle social commentary there in that song, and some of your others as well. Is that sort of a conscious thing? Are you someone who wants to leave a bit of a message and get people thinking about making a better world, or is that just kind of work its way in there without much thought?
I cut my teeth musically on punk rock back in high school.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that, you know, a lot of that ethos, I guess, is has been what I've been interested in as that kind of runs through all different kinds of music, you know, the various kinds of music that I've been interested in. And, you know, I mean, in folk music, finding Woody Guthrie, you know, getting turned on to Woody Guthrie in the first place, I think that was the most punk rock thing I ever heard. And, you know, I still feel like that's a large part of Troubadour's work nowadays is still Woody's work, you know, doing that. I mean, you can sing Zippity Doo Dah and all that. That's that's all right too, you know. But I think, you know, if stuff is apolitical, I'm not really interested in it, you know. I feel like that in itself is kind of is a bit of a political statement.
Yeah.
You know, being silent about those things speaks for itself.
Yeah.
You know?
Speaking of the devil, look who just walked in there, Scott.
Hi, Gail. How are you?
We were just talking about Gail. He was asking about you.
I was like, is Gail still here?
Here you are. If you have any questions, Gail, you just pull on up. You're just going to sit back and enjoy the show. Yeah. I like putting you on the spot, though.
So, it's a radio cameo, Gail Comfort.
Are songs mostly drawn from your own experience, or are you able to make up stories? And
Mostly from my own experience. I think, you know, some of the folks you meet and talk to also make their way into the songs. But, you know, to begin with, I guess, like, when I was making my first record in particular, I wouldn't say anything that wasn't true.
Oh yeah.
You know, I felt like, some kind of duty to the facts.
Yeah.
You know, and if the facts didn't rhyme, then I would just look around for other
find
facts,
other facts,
you know, like my grandma really is from Alabama. It's not for the rhyme,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, as time's gone on, I come to see the sense in not letting the facts get in the way of a good story sometimes.
Yeah.
And also I find that, you know, there's stuff you pick up from people's experience that, and people's stories that, that deserves to go in a song, but maybe you don't want to put that person's whole story in, you know. There's a lot of commonalities in people's experience that maybe, you know, can be drawn out and woven together.
Yeah.
To make a story that's, you know, that's not autobiographical, but it took me a while to get, you know, to get away from that.
Yeah.
I think I still kind of still tend to shoot pretty straight. Lyrically, I have a lot to learn about songwriting. I really admire the way some songwriters can come at things from a very, you know, like tangential kind of, angle. And, you know, I'm still feel like I'm just kind of scratching the surface of what can be done with a song, you know?
Yeah, so you're still always trying to push your process in new directions and...
Yeah, and still just looking to hear the songs that blow my mind, you know?
Yeah.
That shake me up. It's a big part of what I'm doing in the month to come. I'm headed down to the States and just want to hear some new songs.
Oh, I bet you'll encounter more than a few.
Yeah.
Can I make a comment now?
Absolutely. That's
I wanted to say that I've been a fan for a number of years, and the first time I saw Chris was down at Moondragon. Remember that restaurant? It's called Mondragon.
Yeah, Mondragon. Yeah.
Mondragon. Indeed. Mondragon. Yeah. It's like It was. It's gone now, eh?
Yes, it's gone now.
It was like an anarchist. Yes. Co-op kind
workers
of space.
Place. Yeah. And I at that time, that must have been 6 or 7 years ago, because at that time I was just back from England, and someone had told me to go and see you.
Oh, yeah.
From there, someone from Europe. And I remember that gig like it was yesterday. And one of the reasons why I remember that gig was because when Scott finished his singing, the first set, came down and he talked to every single person.
Yeah.
But he didn't just, it wasn't just like a meet and greet. It was like he was really interested in what we had to say. And even me, as Jeff knows, I can get boring. And even me, when I was talking about traveling in England and traveling in Europe, after the gig, he did email me and say, you know, it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure talking to you, and actually remembered what I'd said to him. And I think every single person in that room, you might remember that was a small room. I think every single person in that room is still a fan because of that warmth. And I didn't think, I just thought that you were giving of yourself. You were actually listening to us.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that you do so well. And when it comes out in a song, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, well, thank you, Gail.
So it helps. There was no question.
No, it's good.
It helps to have small audiences for that.
but you do, you still do that. You still have that personal touch with people, and even people coming up to buy CDs. I see you talking more than just, you know, about the CD or whatever. Is that something you make an effort to do, or is that just the kind of guy you are? And it just,
I'm interested in people.
Yeah,
you know, I'm genuinely interested in people. I think that's a big part of the reason I got into this. You know,
I guess you'd
just
have
like
to be
meeting people and hearing their stories. I've found it has gotten harder to remember people.
Yeah.
As time's gone on, and you know, traveling in more countries and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Especially when they're out of context.
Yeah.
It's gotten harder, but I make a genuine effort anyway.
Yeah.
Trying to remember people's names and trying to remember all the names of the bartenders that I you know, at the various places. And
yeah. So if you could do anything you want, like, do you still have an idea for a record that you can't afford or that you haven't done yet or something like that? Is there still things that you would love to do if you could?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's more a matter of just getting the songs written, you know, rather than being able to afford it. I just finished a new tune, which I think is kind of pointing in a direction that I want to work more in, writing kind of bluegrass.
Oh, yeah.
Songs,
yeah.
Short songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Bluegrass and country that are short.
Yeah.
And have nice little catchy choruses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be the direction for the next record. I think I could use a little more steel guitar in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Right about now. And also, I've had this idea on the back burner for a long time of doing an Afro-Caribbean record.
Really?
With a band. I've been learning to play the mbira, thumb piano.
Yeah.
And you know, studying that music.
Yeah.
and you know, trying to learn as much as I can about it. But you know, that's going to be a big undertaking.
Yeah, for sure.
To write the material and to absorb that kind of, you know, to absorb that idiom more.
Yeah.
Back when I lived in Taiwan, we used to play a lot of reggae music and reggae and ska and that sort of thing. And so I got a long love for that music,
but yeah.
haven't been doing anything around that at all for the past few years, and it really is fun to play music for people to dance to.
Yeah,
you know.
So is that important to keep yourself from just being the guy with the guitar all the time? You keep trying out new styles of music, and
yeah, you know, I mean, I've dallied with just about everything. Made electronic music,
yeah.
Back in the day. Drum and bass in particular. I've produced some hip hop, and I'm interested in all that stuff. I just kind of decided a little ways into playing full time that I should probably focus on one thing and
yeah.
learn to do that well. Sing songs and tell stories so people know what to expect from a show when they come out to it.
For sure.
And so that I can actually, you know, get good at doing something. So that's been pretty all consuming. You know, I haven't really gotten to a point yet where I can put it on the back burner.
Yeah.
This whole thing, it seems like I kind of still need to, you know, strike while the iron's hot. But if I can get into a position that I can get a team together and get somebody to do the bookings and that sort of thing for me, then I would love to turn my attention to other kinds of musical veins.
Yeah. Mm. Why don't you play us another song? I'd certainly like that.
Sure.
I'm imagining Gail would probably be fine with that.
Alberta, remember when I held you as the room spun at the harvest dance? You had dreams to match my ambition. The ridgelines of your body rose beneath my hands. Oh, kissing slow, whispering low that we'll never part. Alberta, you're breaking my heart. Northern country to forge a life. This oil town's gray and brown, but there's black gold to grab. My days are dirty, your nights are lonely. Turn to finding comfort in a Ziploc bag. Baby, are you sober? Try to turn it over, but it wouldn't start. Alberta, you're breaking my heart. Alberta, you're breaking my heart. Midnight gas stop, trying to get home. The card read declined. Please pick up the phone. Are you using again? Where's the money? Did you sell off our promise with your beauty? Oh, is it just fate? Is it too late for this frail work of art? Alberta, you're breaking my heart. Alberta, you're breaking my heart. Alberta, remember when I held you as the room spun at the harvest dance?
Marvelous, marvelous. Yes, that's a tremendous, tremendous song. It's great.
Thank you.
And you wrote that with a friend of yours, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you do a lot of co-writing?
No. No, I want to do more.
Yeah?
Yeah. Ben Caldwell, he's a Australian singer. As a matter of fact, he's on the Australian version of The Voice right now.
Really?
Yeah. Boy George is his coach.
Wow.
It's pretty surreal.
No kidding.
We just saw it on YouTube the other day. Oh my God. I was hanging out at his house and he was just fiddling around on the guitar and he was like, is there a song called Alberta, You're Breaking My Heart? I was, I don't know. I Googled it, you know, and there wasn't. And he was like, well, we should write that song. You know, I was like, okay, sure, whatever. He's like, no, I mean, we should write that song right now. And so I was, okay, I closed the computer, you know, opened the bourbon, and we started batting it around there for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours, I guess, before it came together. Just got thinking about Alberta. If Alberta was a woman.
Yeah.
You know, well, she's definitely addicted to coke. This was kind of during the boom.
Yeah.
You know, and, well, I suppose, yeah, the money runs out at the end. We all kind of knew it would, and now it has. And there's a lot of, you know, Albertans have a lot of expensive habits that they can't really support. So that's not to distance myself from them. I'm part of the whole thing as well, you know. And I'm one of the oil industry's biggest customers. So, you know, it's not like I'm any different from that. But, yeah, we just got thinking about Alberta as a gal. And then, yeah, song kind of came from there.
Yeah, it's great. Do songs take a lot of chiseling away to get good for you, or do they?
Yeah, mine do. Yeah, I've had two that were kind of delivered to me. Both times it was when I was driving by myself, and it just sort of fell into my head. And I might have tweaked them a little bit, but they were pretty much delivered whole.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, if I just waited around for that to happen, I wouldn't. I'd only have two songs. I tend to spend quite a bit of time chipping at them. Actually, with that one, you know, Ben said after we were done, he was like, oh, my God, I don't think I've ever worked so long on a song. Jeez, you know, because we're debating each word, right?
Yeah.
And, I tend to go that way. You know, one of the songwriters I admire most is Corin Raymond, as you already know. You know, he writes a couple songs a year, maybe, you know, two or three or four songs a year. He spends a lot of time on his songs. And I think you can tell.
Yeah.
Not that they feel overworked or anything.
No, not at all.
But you know, he has a remarkable economy.
Yeah.
He does a lot with a few words.
Yeah.
I think it's admirable.
Yeah. You're someone who's always kind of singing other people's songs and championing other writers as well. Why is that important to you? I mean, on your CDs and especially also in your shows, it might make sense to just do your own songs and leave them be. But you make an effort to include covers and to
always include a cover, at least one. I think I know some of the best songwriters alive.
Absolutely.
And you know, if folks listen to either of your radio programs, they would be introduced to them.
Yeah.
But if they're just out there kind of, you know, tuning in the commercial radio, they're not going to hear these people.
Yeah.
I mean, even, you know, Corin as an example, he was nominated for a Juno just now, and I felt like it was like, finally.
Yeah, no kidding.
Canada recognized a national treasure who's been working in relative obscurity this whole time. I mean, he makes a living. He's doing fine. But, you know, we have these writers in our midst, and you know, if the radio and the TV is not playing their songs, obviously with a few exceptions, you know, we may as well sing their songs. You know, I feel like that's a big part of kind of what being a troubadour has always been as well, is carrying the people's songs around. You know, also, I mean, I just get tired of my own songs. I like to learn. I like to learn other people's songs. There's always a lesson in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow, how did he do that? Or how did she manage to squeeze all that in there? You know, and by kind of learning them, really unpacks them in a way. And there's lessons in there.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm always leery about making requests or suggestions, but is there somebody else's song you feel like sharing?
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to. Yeah, this is a song I sing every chance I get. I didn't play it last night, but that's because I've sung it at Times Change before. But this is one that I sure can't figure out how he did it. The earth was shipped in a cellophane wrapper to a godlike kid by galactic courier. He placed an order from the back of a comic book he'd read when he should have been in school. He had a project due in his socio-anthro-eco-geo-bio and creationism course that he should have been working on instead of playing games with his gang of omnipotent pals. The project was due in 100,000 years, which can hardly be construed as enough time to populate a planet with intelligent beings who can live in a self-sustaining way. But he saw in the comic book an ad for a planet with a species on the brink of developing intelligence that could be shipped in a cellophane wrapper, and he thought, it's my ticket to an A. Now, it might seem to you like 100,000 years is a long time, but if you just consider that the kid with the comic book would see 100,000 years pass like the twinkle of a star. So the kid put the earth on his desk in his bedroom underneath a heat lamp that he kept on a timer on his walls. He had made constellations using stickers that were stars that could glow in the dark. And he worked as the species on the brink of intelligence grew, found fire, built bombs, and exploded them. He cried when he learned the killing was so often interspersed with the praising of his name. So the kid with the comic book turned on the heat lamp, took a magnifying glass from his leftmost cupboard, and he looked to the earth, picked a symbolic bush, and focused and set it on fire. And when the bush was burning, the people got the message and the leaders agreed to take responsibility and base their actions on accountability and promise that they'd try to get along. So the kid took the earth to his teacher who looked and saw good work and the room for improvement. Not a bad first try. B plus and excitement for your many more creations still to come. And now the earth lies wrapped in bubble wrap there on the floor of the closet of the kid with the comic book. His mother checks in every now and then to ensure that things will work out in the end. And so everything will work out in the end.
That's awesome. I'm pretty sure I know who that is, but...
Trevor Mills.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Trevor Mills.
So good.
It amazes me, that song. It wasn't actually till I was using it as an example once. I was teaching songwriting in a workshop, and I used it as an example. And then we'd been talking about rhyme schemes, and then I thought, well, and how about that song? And then I realized it doesn't even rhyme.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't notice, you know. It's not begging for a rhyme. I'm a real stickler for a rhyme, but you know, it doesn't need to. And he accomplishes something really remarkable there, you know, by kind of, you know, he lifts your guard.
Yeah.
With the outright absurdity, yeah, of it, you, yeah, know, on the face of it. And then he manages to do something, you know, somehow to subvert all human politics and religion.
Yeah.
You know, in the space of like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Well, what's that one called?
The Kid with the Comic Book by Trevor Mills. Yeah.
That's great. We are running low on time here, but is there anything else that's coming up that we should talk about?
Well, I'm headed down to the States on a songwritery vacation. So, yeah, that's what's coming up for me. Just going to go visit some music cities, Nashville and Asheville, the Kerrville Folk Festival, Tulsa, Yeah, just looking to get inspired and try and bring some songs back home in time for festival season. I won't be doing anything out this way this summer, yep. But hope to sometime.
You got some other festivals, though?
Yeah, I'll be at North Country Fair in Alberta, Wild Mountain Music Fest in Alberta, Bliss Fest down in Michigan, Arts Wells Festival in Northern BC, which is the biggest musicians hang out west. And then at the end of the summer, I'm going to ride my bicycle down the west coast from Victoria to San Francisco.
Wow.
And play Sisters Folk Fest in Oregon along the way.
Wow, that's ambitious.
Yeah, it's easier to say.
That's a lot of fun. This is Scott Cook, by the way, and you can check him out. ScottCook.net, I believe, is the website, right?
Yeah.
Order up the CDs from there. And, yeah, one of these days you have to come back and play my living room or something like that.
I'd be glad to. Thank you.
Is there a song you want to leave us with, either from the guitar or the CD or both? Or?
Oh, sure. What? Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll... May as well play a hit, eh?
Absolutely. people are wondering when it's going to come.
This guitar came from a timber, from the body of a tree, through the workshop of a luthier. Now it's on loan to me, and it's good company after dinner, and it fits my hands just fine. But someday another singer with a pair of hands like mine will coax out songs much prettier, still hiding in its strings, and sing stronger, braver words than I could ever sing. And folks are gonna love it, of this I'm almost sure. So I take good care of it, 'cause I'm borrowing it from her. Pass it along, pass it along. May it land in careful hands when we're gone. You carry it for a moment, but time won't loan it to you for long. You don't own it, pass it along. And this here is my country. Sometimes it's hard to recognize it, but I count myself lucky to have been born inside it. And I'm grateful for the rights others struggled hard to win. You can be sure I'm gonna fight when they try and take them back again. Oh, and everywhere are teachers, though some fell along the way. The words they said still reach us, just like you're teaching me here today. And you may not speak it loud, but it's clear in what you do. And I hope to make you proud, 'cause I borrowed it from you. Pass it along, pass it along. May it land in careful hands when we're gone. You carry it for a moment, but time won't loan it to you for long. You don't own it, pass it along. Seems these days we're in a hurry to grab up all that's left to use, putting patents on discovery, making seeds that don't reproduce. If our vision is so narrow, seeing only bought and sold, we'll end up like the pharaohs, buried with their gold. We've all pushed this thing along, we've all been guided by our fear.
But the river sings a song we've got to be quieter to hear. It's in every child's face, new and hopeful as a stem. Best be gentle with this place, 'cause we're borrowing it from them. Pass it along, pass it along. May it land in careful hands when we're gone. You carry it for a moment, but time won't loan it to you for long. You don't own it, pass it along.
Hit with for good reason. It's a hell of a song. Thank you very much, Gail. Any last thoughts before we head off? What's coming up on the cafe tonight?
Ron Sexsmith.
Yeah, lots of Ron Sexsmith. That's good because I ran out of time and I won't play any.
Made me cry, Scott.
All right, so tune in to Gail coming up at 6 o'clock. We got Waxy's Dargle coming up at 5, and our pal Skippy's out there getting his narrative together, ready for that. Thank you, Scott Cook, for spending some time with us today.
Thank you so
and,
much.
And hopefully,
me on
we
the
will get to do it again somewhere down the road.
Yeah, man.
All right, I want to leave you with this one. It's a classic. Got earlier. Requested, and well, it's just a nice way to end the show. Thanks for being here, everybody. This has been Tell the Band to Go Home. I'll be back on Thursday, 6:30 to 8 o'clock, Still About the Radio. Next Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m., Tell the Band to Go Home. Check out tellthebandtogohome.com and stay tuned for more great stuff. We'll leave you with a little bit of Tom Waits for Dale.
Outside another yellow moon, it's punched a hole in the nighttime, yes. I climb to the window and down to the street. I'm shining like a new dime. The downtown trends are full. For all those Brooklyn girls, they try so hard to break out of their little worlds. You wave your hand and the scatterlock crows. They have nothing that will ever capture your heart. They're just thorns without the rose. Be careful of them in the dark. Oh, if I was the one you chose to be, your only one. Oh yeah, can't you hear me now? Can't you hear me now? I see you. Stairs in your doorway, I walk down your street and past your gate. I stand by the light of the four-way. You watch a massive four-way.